Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, again, happy Easter. Jesus is risen. The darkness of Good Friday is over, and the light and hope of the resurrection is upon us. No matter what we're carrying today, no matter what we're contending for today, I bless you to receive the power of the resurrection this morning. It's a morning of celebration. It's actually an afternoon now, isn't it? It's actually afternoon. It's an afternoon for hope, where we rejoice in Jesus and the victory of God over sin and death. And for all of us who know Jesus and follow Jesus, it's an afternoon where we remember and celebrate that we have been set free from the curse and chains of sin and brokenness, and we celebrate the certainty of our own resurrection. We rejoice in Jesus' promise to us when he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And if you've been part of the Vineyard for a while now, you know that St. Luke and his gospel have been part of our church's life for many months now. It's been forming us and shaping us. It's been influencing us. It's been confronting us and comforting us. And on Friday night, we left the disciples afraid and scattered. The women who were with Jesus waiting, we left them. They went to celebrate the Sabbath and to rest on the Sabbath. And we left Jesus in the tomb. And while the world was waiting and while the world was resting, God was working powerfully to raise Jesus from the dead. Today we come as Luke allows us to join with the disciples who discover that the tomb is empty and begin to understand all that that means for them and the world. Today we're invited to be witnesses of the resurrection, but not just for a day, but for the rest of our lives, living in the hope of Jesus and life with him forever. Earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus tells us that all who believe in his name are children of the resurrection. And today, we celebrate that as we worship and as we look to the scriptures. We gather our strength, we renew our faith, and we prepare to go out in joy and the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim what God has done for us in Jesus. So let's look to Luke's gospel. Let it challenge and let's let it read us afresh. The Easter accounts actually are strange yet familiar. And we can slip into thinking about maybe the lunch we're going to have later, the beautiful sunshine, the walk we're going to take, the beach we're going to go to, or whatever. We might slip into thinking about our time off, or it's really hot in here, or something like that. But let's not miss this moment to gather with Luke and see where he might take us. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they prepared and went to the tomb. Well, earlier this morning, I wrote in my notes a small group of us, but ended up being a large group of us, which was wonderful, gathered for a dawn service at Rider Square to welcome Easter in. At the first Easter, the women get up as early as they can to go to the tomb. When we last heard from them, they were preparing spices to anoint Jesus' body. And then they had to rest on the Sabbath. So this is their very first opportunity. And they come to where they'd seen Joseph of Arimathea place Jesus' body in the tomb. They've come to honor him and minister to him one last time. Bringing spices and perfumes to anoint the body was a common practice. Spices were placed around the body that was wrapped in linen to stop the smell of decay. Because they would lay a body in a tomb and then let it decay until it was only bones, and then they would take the bones and put them in an ossuary or a bone box, and then that would be buried separately, and the tomb would be reused. That's what's happening here. They're coming out in the early morning hours. They're expecting to minister to Jesus one last time and to pour out their affection and their grief one last time. They're expecting a body amongst the tombs, but that isn't really what happens, because surprise, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They find that the stone has been rolled away, which would have been unusual but not shocking, just because of the way burials worked. tombs were sealed, but more than one body would have been placed in the tomb at different times, plus the regular anointing with the spices and the perfumes. It would have been surprising, but not that surprising, that the stone has been rolled away. So they find this stone is not covering the entranceway, but they go in and they do not find Jesus' body, which is beyond a surprise. It is completely unexpected. They had come to anoint a body. They weren't expecting resurrection. They understood what being dead meant and what being dead was, and they had seen him die, and then they had seen him. They watched Joseph of Arimathea bury him in this very tomb, in the very grave clothes that they were now looking at. And if someone had just stolen the body, why are their unwrapped grave clothes folded lying there? When is the last time you were genuinely surprised or shocked? The kind of shocked and surprised that you just can't figure out what is going on. It gets even more surprising. When they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. As they're standing there, confused, as we would say in Belfast, trying to get their heads around this, there's two men with clothes like lightning, and they appear beside them. They're angels, and the women fall on their faces before them. It's about as unexpected and surprising and confusing as it can possibly be. Easter is actually like that, if we let it be true to what it is. You know, we try and tame Easter. We try and tame it by taking time off and doing a holiday. We try and tame it with chocolate and bunnies and pastel colors and, you know, thoughts of spring or something like that. But the truth is, Easter is shocking. Easter is confusing. Easter is terrifying, because if the Easter is true, then nothing will be the same again. And there are big questions for each of us, starting with how are we going to live now that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead? These women were terrified. And if we think long enough about Easter and what it actually means, we should be terrified too. What if Jesus wants to surprise you this Easter this year? See, these women had plans. These were women with plans. The plan was anoint the body. They had spices. They were ready to go. I'm a kind of guy that likes to keep to the plan. You can ask my wife. If we deviate from the plan, I get anxious, nervous, and grumpy. Some of you are like, what is a plan? Others of us are like, there's always a plan. Rules are meant to be followed, you know, that kind of thing. These women had a plan, and they had spices, and they were ready to go. And their plans did not include a resurrection, and their plans did not include running with the gospel message to announce that Jesus is risen. What surprises does Jesus have for you? Where might the risen Jesus be interrupting your plans? Where is he inviting you to lay down your plans and risk again? To lay down your plans and to seek him afresh, to surrender everything to him as you follow him. Will you lay down your plans and embrace his plans, surprises and all? Are we looking in the wrong place? I love chapter 24, verse 5. I love what the angels say to the women. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" They're coming to adore, and they're coming to honor, and they're coming to minister to Jesus, but they're expecting a dead body. Then they discover he's no longer dead, and he's no longer where they thought he was. They're looking for him in the tombs, but he's not there. He's been raised. He's no longer in a tomb. He's alive and well, and he's out there already impacting the world. I have a hard question for us this afternoon. Are we looking for him among the tombs right now, when he is very much alive? Who are we expecting to find when we come to Jesus? Are we expecting to find Jesus as a wise man that lived long ago, who was a great teacher, really smart, and if we have enough willpower, we can kind of believe he was good, and then we can maybe be good and live a good life, and maybe if we believe the right things that we're not really sure about, we'll then get to heaven? Is that what we're expecting? When actually, he's God's son. He's very much alive. He's very much with us right here, right now. He's paid for our sins on the cross so that we can now be free from our sin, righteous and beloved in his presence right now. He is a living Savior. He is our friend, brother, and Lord whom we can know. And we minister to Jesus, not in the tombs, but in worship, in community, by serving others in his name, by living out our calling, by obeying his commands, by seeking his presence, by welcoming his Holy Spirit to empower us to live as he lived and to begin living life in his kingdom right here, right now, and forever. This is a quote by Philip Yancey. In many respects, I would find an unresurrected Jesus easier to accept. Easter makes him dangerous. Because of Easter, I have to listen to his extravagant claims and can no longer pick and choose from his sayings. Moreover, Easter means that he must be loose out there somewhere. Like the disciples, I never know where Jesus might turn up, how he might speak to me, what he might ask of me. As Frederick Buechner says, Easter means we can never nail him down, not even if the nails we use are real and the thing we nail him to is a cross. Will this Easter mark a shift for you? Will you minister to Jesus in worship, in service? Will you seek his presence and his life? Will you make following Jesus and meeting with him your highest priority? Also, all of us are made for wholeness, peace, rest, and joy. And we each go looking for those things each and every day. The question is, where do we go looking? We're all trying to find those things. The question is, where are we looking for them? Are we looking for them in success, holidays, wealth, riches? Are we looking for them in ourselves? Relationships, sex, food, the good life, whatever that is. Are we constantly looking amongst the tombs for what only God our Creator can give us? We were made for him, and our hearts are restless until we find our home in him. The empty tomb, the risen Jesus, calls out to us to come unto him and find living water, our true home, forgiveness for our sins, healing from the effects of the world's brokenness. Come find wholeness and peace and joy in Jesus, and all will be added unto you. This Easter, for some of you, maybe it's time to begin following Jesus and to leave empty wells and the empty promises of the world says we need to be and we need to pursue. For others of us, it's time to come back to Jesus, to remember him, to remember all he has done for us, and leave our empty wells where we've wandered off to, where we're looking for water but aren't finding anything, and leave the empty promises of what the world says that we need to be. It's time to come home. It's time to come home at Easter. Remember, remember. The angels tell the women to remember what Jesus said to them. He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. He told them that this would happen. He told them that it must happen. What they thought was a crushing defeat has turned out to be a stunning victory. And they remember that Jesus told them it would happen, and it did happen, and it's all true. We watched it when we went through Luke's gospel. We saw it in Luke 9:22. This is Jesus telling them, this is going to happen. Pay attention to me. And as they remember, they move from confusion to clarity. Confusion to clarity and hope. When they remember Jesus' words to them. Where do you need to remember Jesus' words to you? About who you are. About whose you are. About the promises he's made to you. His promises are still true. No matter what we are facing. When we remember his words to us, we move from confusion to clarity and hope. In light of this, what do you need to walk out of here knowing, believing, receiving, remembering Jesus has said to you and spoken over you? Do you need to remember that he promised to never leave or forsake you? Do you need to remember that he is with you always, even to the end of the age? Do you need to remember that he has forgiven you, cleansed you, that you are bought at a price? Do you need to remember that you're loved beyond measure? Do you need to remember that he brings you peace? Do you need to remember that if you've placed your faith and hope and trust in him, you have life forever with him, a good future? Do you need to remember he's your good shepherd? Do you need to remember that you have purpose and calling, that you have good works that he has prepared in advance for you to do? Do you need to remember that you can live without fear, that you can live alive and well in his kingdom? Do you need to remember that he has life to the full for you? What personal promises has he made to you about your life? What dreams has he placed in your heart? Will you remember, and not just a cognitive, oh yeah, that prophetic word that one time, or oh yeah, I really felt God say this that one time. Not just a cognitive, you know, remembering facts, but will you let his promises, would you remember them in a way that goes from head to heart? Would you remember them in a way that leads to action, a new way of living, courage, hope, and risk? Will we embrace that? And will we leave here different because of Easter? The empty tomb means Jesus keeps his promises. All of it's true. And we can leave here changed. I had a sense as I was preparing for this afternoon that there's many of us here. We had dreams when we were younger about ministry. We had dreams about things that we would do in Jesus' name. We felt that God spoke them over us and people confirmed it prophetically, but they have not yet come to pass. And we've laid those dreams aside. We've cast them aside. It's time to remember them and it's time to go. It's not time to remember them cognitively, say, oh yeah, that happened, back to the football or whatever it is. It's time to remember them and get into action. As we move on here with the account from Luke, the angels call to remember doesn't just bring the women to clarity, it then releases them into courage and action. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. It releases courage and action. They run to find the apostles and the others. And at first, the men doubt them and they dismiss them. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. So the men doubt them. It's called nonsense in this translation. Maybe your translation of the Bible has utter idle chatter. If you look up the word in the original Greek, it's actually the word you would use for someone who's delirious because of illness, like a high fever. That's what the word means. The men are sitting there with broken dreams and broken hearts. They're unable to believe, unable to remember the words and promises of Jesus. Does that describe you or a part of you today? Where are you doubting Jesus? Where are you not able to remember? Where are you stuck in passivity because of doubt? Is today the day that that changes? Peter, the Apostle Peter. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what happened. Because of the women's courage and action and proclamation about the risen Jesus, one person from the group is moved from doubt and passivity into action. He responds and gets up and goes to the tomb to see for himself. What got him up? What got him off his backside? Well, the women's testimony and proclamation and courage. When we share our faith, when we testify to God's presence and goodness, when we open our mouth and take risks and talk about Jesus, it has the power to move people, to move them from doubt to action, to get up and run after Jesus and go on a journey of faith and discovery for themselves. Never forget that. Never let the enemy lie to you. Never let fear lie to you. Peter heard this proclamation about Jesus and he had to go see for himself. What if your proclamation causes people around you to go see for themselves? Will we take risks here this year? Who might go find Jesus because of your testimony, your action, and risk? Men, I hate to break it to you, I'm one of you. We can be doubters, can't we? And when we doubt God's goodness, when we doubt the truth of the gospel, the reality of Jesus, we usually turn to apathy and passivity, and we just kind of check out. And many of you will have had this experience where women in our lives, our mothers, our sisters, our friends, our wives, our girlfriends, are there urging us towards faith or an aspect of faith. And we sit there. What I would like to say to you this afternoon is, will you heed the Gospels? And just accept, even though we don't like to accept it, that often the women in our lives are out ahead of us, believing and encountering Jesus before us. It doesn't have to be that way, but it often is. And the question is, will we get up off our backside and start to run in faith? What happens to Peter? Well, Peter runs, and he goes, and he's on this journey. He doesn't even know what's happening. He just knows he has to find out. He just has to find out. And if you fast forward through the book of Acts, he ends up leading the whole thing. The church of Jesus Christ, this new community gathered around Jesus. And he ends up one of the most influential, courageous, powerful, wonder-working servants of God the church and the world has ever seen. Instead of wallowing with his mates, he takes a risk and he runs and he gets into action to test if Jesus is actually true. Will you do the same? Will you start on a journey? Will you start to run to see if Jesus is true? Will you go from apathy to action? Will you go from apathy to encounter? Will you go from apathy to leadership in God's kingdom and whatever he's given you? It starts today. It starts with Easter. It starts with the empty tomb. My testimony is that I've found Jesus to be reliable, wise, trustworthy, and alive and well, and waiting for me to live out the life he's calling me to. Whatever the tomb represents for you, the death of dreams, the lack of success, hopelessness, pain, grief, suffering, will you run and see that the tomb is empty? And that Jesus is greater than all these things, and that he's out ahead of us, and we can run in faith and hope, and we have significance and influence and leadership to exercise in his name. And that is way more exciting than drowning in video games, beer, porn, and dreaming about the good old days. So the question is, will we get up and will we run to the tomb? Will we see where Jesus is, out there loose somewhere? Here's what's interesting about Peter. He had the ability to learn from his failures and then act differently, which is a very good trait to have. If you remember part of the story of Peter and the story of Jesus, the Good Friday story, Jesus told Peter that he would deny him three times. Peter said, there's no chance I'm doing that. And then it happened. It happened. And then Peter knew it happened. He remembered that. What if your failures are opportunities for renewed faith and trust and more chances at action and obedience? Instead of licking our wounds, not living in grace and mercy, instead of, you know, refusing to live out our calling and to be a passionate follower and worshiper of Jesus who serves and leads and announces his kingdom because we failed, what if we saw failure as an opportunity? What if we learned from our failures just like Peter did? And what if we take our next chance that comes along? See, Peter got up and went. And I imagine part of it was, you know what? I learned the hard way that Jesus is right. Because he told me I'd deny him. I said I wouldn't, but then I did. I learned the hard way that he's right. What if he's right again? I'm not going to miss a moment. I'm not going to miss a moment again. I'm not hanging back. I'm risking again. I'm not even sure if I fully believe it, but I have to go. I will always regret it if I play it safe. Easter's a turning point. We can't play it safe anymore. We all have areas where we failed. We have a Savior who forgives and loves, and we can learn that he is good and trustworthy, and even our failures can be redeemed. This is Philip Yancey again. I have come to know a God who is a soft spot for rebels, who recruits people like the adulterer David, the whiner Jeremiah, the traitor Peter, and the human rights abuser Saul of Tarsus. I've come to know a God whose son made prodigals the heroes of his stories and the trophies of his ministry. What about you? Are you a trophy of his grace and ministry, or are you a complete failure? Only one of those is true. And I'm here this afternoon to say to you, you're trophies. And it's time to run and trust Jesus and stop playing it safe. As we come in for a landing, we're children of the resurrection, and it's all true. Back in Luke 20, I already mentioned that Jesus tells us that all who believe in him are children of the resurrection. We carry the presence and life of Jesus wherever we go, along with the promise of resurrection. Jesus went before us in death and resurrection. He's out ahead of us, and he's inviting us to follow. No fear of sin or death because of him. He invites us as his friends to join him in renewing the earth and being with him forever.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.